نستعينه ونستغفر ونعوذ بالله ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. When alhamdulillah, we praise Allah, we seek His forgiveness and seek His assistance. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil in ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, no one can misguide him. And whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to be misguided, there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no God, no deity, no object of worship, worthy of worship other than Allah. He stands alone with no partners. And I bear witness that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his last slave, servant, and messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah is to be feared, and die not except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord, who has created you from a single soul, and created from him its mate, and scattered from them to many men and women. And fear Allah, for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wounds that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a Raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, say that which is correct, and always speak the truth, so that Allah may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma baidu, certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this religion. For every newly invented matter in this religion is a bid'ah. Every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the hellfire. Continuing on with the ideal Muslim, we're still talking about the relationship between the Muslim and himself and the thing that he's going to do to put himself in the right state. And one of the things that he must do as a Muslim is that he must be proficient in a foreign language. He does not forget to pay attention to foreign languages, because these days learning a foreign language is one of the most important tasks required of the active Muslim who understands the demands of contemporary Islamic life. His religion gives the attentive Muslim a great incentive to learn foreign languages. 15 centuries ago, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged the study of foreign languages so that the Muslims would always be able to communicate with various nations and races and convey to them the message of truth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted us with. We see the evidence of this in the hadith narrated by Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, who said, in which he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "O Zayd, learn the writing of the Jews, for by Allah I do not trust the Jews to write anything down for me." Zayd said, "So I learnt it, and it only took me a month to be proficient in it. Then I used to take down whatever letters the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to send them, and I would read for him the letters that they sent him." In another report, he said, "The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me, 'Do you know Syriac? I received a letter in this language.' I said, 'No.' He said, 'Then learn it.' So I learned it." Similarly, Ibn al-Zubair radiallahu anhu was proficient in a number of languages, but learning them did not distract him from his religion or preparing for the hereafter. He had 100 male slaves, each of whom spoke a different language, and he used to speak to each slave in his own language. If you were to see this man when he was dealing with worldly affairs, you would think that he was a man who did not give a second thought to the hereafter. And if you saw him dealing with religious matters, you would think that he was a man who did not give a second thought to this world. Nowadays, more than ever before, the Muslim needs to be proficient in foreign languages so that he may know what is going on around him, both positive and negative, so that he may understand what has been written about his ummah and its heritage in languages other than his own, and thus be able to defend his ummah from evil and speak up for its well-being. Next is his soul. While he is taking care of his physical and mental needs, the true Muslim does not forget that he is not comprised only of body and mind, but he also has a passionate, yearning soul whose higher longings motivate him to lift himself up by devoting himself to worship, seeking the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fearing his punishment. The Muslim is obliged to take care of his soul, so he starts to polish it and refine it through constant worship and awareness of Allah night and day. He is aware and alert to the devious tricks and deceptive whispers of the shaitan, and if for some moment of human weakness evil thoughts come to him from that source, he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and finds his way back to the straight path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 201, those who fear Allah, when an evil thought of Allah from Satan assaults them, bring Allah to remembrance, when lo, they see aright. Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tell his companions, renew your faith. He was asked, O Messenger of Allah, how do we renew our faith? He said, by frequently repeating, La ilaha illallah. The Muslim seeks to strengthen his soul through various kinds of worship, which he performs out of obedience to and fear of Allah, such as reading the Quran carefully and with understanding, and remembering Allah with humility, praying correctly and with presence of mind, and other kinds of worship and spiritual exercises, training himself to adhere to the different acts of worship until they become second nature and he cannot do without them. Thus he develops and enhances his feelings until in most cases he becomes alert and aware, conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching him in public and private, so that he never mistreats the people he deals with and he never deviates from the true path. The Muslim seeks to attain his high status by keeping company with righteous people who teach one another and him about the truth, and patience and constancy, sabr, and by frequently attending religious gatherings where Allah's name is mentioned often, where there is discussion of the greatness of Islamic teaching regarding the tarbiyah, which is the education of the individual, the family, and the community, and where those present ponder the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the subduer, the omnipotent, from which nothing in heaven or earth can detract, and mediate on the wonder of his creation of the universe and of man. In such gatherings, souls are purified, hearts are cleansed, and a person's whole being is filled with faith. So Abdullah ibn Rawah, radiallahu anhu, whenever he met one of the companions of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say, come, let us believe in our Lord for a while. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about it, he said, may Allah have mercy on Ibn Rawah, for he loves the gatherings that the angels feel proud to attend. Even Umar radiallahu anhu, who was so righteous and performed so many acts of worship, felt the need to purify his soul from time to time. He would remove himself for a while from the cares and worries of life to refresh his soul and cleanse his heart. Likewise, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu, would say often to his companions when they were walking, let us sit down and believe for a while. The Muslim is responsible for strengthening his soul and purifying his heart. He must always push himself to attain a higher level and guard against slipping down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Ash-Shams 7-10, by the soul and the proportion and order given to it, and its enlightenment as to its wrong and to its right. Truly he succeeds that purifies it, and he fails that corrupts it. So the Muslim is required to choose his friends carefully, and to join only those gatherings that will increase his faith, taqwa, and insight. He should avoid the bad company of the devils among mankind, and keep away from gatherings of sin and disobedience, which will only corrupt his soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Kahf, Ayah 28, and keep your soul content with those who call on their Lord morning and evening, seeking his face, and let not your hearts pass beyond them, seeking the pomp and glitter of this life, nor obey any whose heart we are permitted to neglect the remembrance of us, one who follows his own desires, whose taste has gone beyond all bounds. The next topic we would like to talk about is the Muslim and his parents, treating them with kindness and respect. One of the main distinguishing characteristics of the true Muslim is his respectful and kind treatment of his parents, because to treat parents with kindness and respect is one of the greatest commandments of Islam, as is clearly confirmed in the Quran and the Sunnah. The Muslim who is truly following this commandment, which is a constant theme in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, must be characterized by his kind and respectful attitude towards his parents. Islam has raised the status of his parents to a level that is unknown in any other religion, in that it has placed kindness and respect towards them on a level that is just one degree below belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and true worship of him. Allah revealed in many ayat which reinforce the message that pleasing one's parents comes second only to pleasing him, and respecting him is counted as a human virtue that is just one step below belief in him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, ayat 36, which means, serve Allah and join not any partners with him, and do good to parents. So the true Muslim is kinder and more respectful towards his parents than any other person in the world. The Quran paints a vivid picture of the high status of the parents and explains the excellent way in which the Muslims should treat them. If one or both of them should live to old age and reach the stage of senility and incapability to a degree that was unknown before the light of this religion dawned upon the face of the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, ayahs 23 through 24, which means, your Lord has decreed that you should worship none but him, and that you be kind to parents. Whether one or both of them attain old age in your life, say not to them a word of contempt, nor repel them, but address them in terms of honor. And out of kindness, lower to them the wing of humility, and say, my Lord, bestow on them your mercy, even as they cherish me in childhood. This is a divine commandment to the Muslim, which is presented in the form of an ultimate and inescapable decree. Your Lord has decreed that you should worship none but him, and that you be kind to parents. These words represent the strong connection between worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and treating parents with kindness and respect, thus raising the status of parents to a level that a wise man, reformers, and philosophers have never managed to ascribe to them. This ayat does not stop at drawing this vivid picture of respect towards them parents, but it goes on to mobilize the forces of mercy, compassion, and kindness in the hearts of children in a gentle way that is filled with humanity. Whether one or both of them attain old age in your life, when they reach the age of senility and infirmity, they are under your care, and you must be careful to avoid uttering any word of complaint or anger towards them. Say not to them a word of contempt, nor repel them. You must take the time to choose the right words to say to them, words that will make them feel loved and wanted, but address them in terms of honor. Your attitude towards them should be one of respect, humility, and obedience, and out of kindness, lower to them the wing of humility, and pray for them for the unforgettable favors they have done for you, as they took care of you when you were small and weak, and say, my Lord, bestow on them your mercy, even as they cherish me in childhood. The open-hearted Muslim finds frequent references in the Quran which increases respect for his parents and encourage him to treat them kindly. In Surah An-Nisa, ayat 36, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which means, serve Allah and join not any partners with him and do good to parents. And in Surah An-Kabut, ayat 8, we have enjoined on man kindness to parents. In Surah Al-Luqman, ayat 14, and we have joined on man to be good to his parents, and travel upon travel did his mother bear him. Anyone who looks into the Islamic sources regarding the kind of treatment of parents will also find plenty of ahadith that reinforce the message of the ayah quoted above and reiterate the virtue of kindness and respect towards one's parents, as well as warning against disobedience or mistreatment of them for any reason whatsoever. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, I asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which deed is most liked by Allah? He said, prayer offered on time. I asked him, then what? He said kindness and respect to his parents. I asked him, then what? He said, jihad fi sabilillah. Jihad for the sake of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was a great educator, placed kindness and respect to his parents between two of the greatest deeds in Islam. Prayer offered on time and jihad fi sabilillah. Prayer is the pillar or foundation of faith and jihad is the pinnacle of Islam. What a high status the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given to parents. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make bay'ah and to pledge to undertake hijrah and jihad in the hope of receiving reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not rush to accept his bay'ah but asked him, are either of your parents alive? The man said, yes, both of them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, and do you wish to receive reward from Allah? The man replied, yes. So the kind-hearted and compassionate Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, go back to your parents and keep them company in the best possible way. According to a report narrated by both Bukhari and Muslim, a man came and asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for permission to participate in jihad. He asked him, are your parents alive? He said, yes. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to perform jihad by taking care of them. In the midst of preparing his army for jihad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not forget the weakness of parents and their claims on their children. So he gently discouraged the volunteer and reminded him to take care of his parents, despite the fact at that time he needed all the manpower he could get for the forthcoming jihad. This is because he understood the importance of respect and kind treatment of parents and knew its position in the overall Islamic framework that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed for the well-being and happiness of mankind. When the mother Sa'id ibn Abi Waqqas objected to her son's embracing Islam, she told him, give up Islam or else I will go on a hunger strike until I die. Then you will feel shame before the Arabs, as they will say he killed his mother. Sa'id told her, you should know that by Allah, even if you had 100 souls and left your body one by one, I would never give up Islam. Then Allah revealed an ayat which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited to the Muslims, in which Sa'id was rebuked for the harshness of his reply to his mother. And this came down in Surah Luqman, ayat 15, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which means, but if they strike to make you join and worship with me things in which you have no knowledge, obey them not, yet bear them company in this life with justice and consideration. The story of a devoted worshiper, Juraij, which is told by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a vivid illustration of the importance of respecting one's parents and being quick to obey him. One day his mother called him whilst he was praying and he wondered, my Lord, my mother, or my prayer? He chose to continue his prayer rather than answer his mother. She called him a second time, but he continued praying and did not answer her. Then she called him a third time, and when he did not respond, she prayed to Allah not to let him die until he had seen the face of a prostitute. There was a prostitute in that locality who had committed adultery with a shepherd and become pregnant. When she realized that she was a child, the shepherd told her, if you are asked about the father of the baby, say it is Juraij, the devoted worshiper. This is what she said, so the people went and destroyed the place where he used to pray. The ruler brought him to the public square, and on the way Juraij remembered his mother's prayer and smiled. When he was brought forth to be punished, he asked for permission to pray 2 rak'ahs. Then he asked for the infant to be brought forth and whispered in his ear, who is your father? The infant said, my father is so-and-so, the shepherd. The people exclaimed, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. They told Juraij, we will rebuild your prayer place with silver and gold. He said, no, just rebuild it as it was with bricks and mortar. Concerning this story, which was reported in Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Juraij had sound knowledge, he would have known that answering his mother was more important than continuing his prayer. Hence, the fuqaha suggested that if a man is praying a nafil prayer and one of his parents call him, he is obliged to stop his prayer and answer them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his teachings to a new peak when he advised his followers to treat their parents with kindness and respect even if they follow a religion other than Islam. This is clear from the hadith of Asma bin Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, radiyallahu anha, who said, my mother came to me, and she was a mushrik at the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my mother has come to me and needs my help. So should I help her? He said, yes, keep in touch with your mother and help her. The true Muslim who understands the meaning of this Quranic guidance and the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot but be the best and kindest of all people towards his parents at all times. This is the practice of the Sahaba and those who follow them sincerely. A man as Sa'id ibn al-Musayyab radiyallahu anhu, I understood all the ayat about kindness and respect towards parents apart from the phrase, but address them in the terms of honor. How can I address them in terms of honor? Sa'id replied, it means that you should address them as a servant addresses his master. Ibn Sirin, radiyallahu anhu, used to speak to his mother in a soft voice like that of a sick person out of respect for her. If we turn from the commandments to treat parents with kindness and respect and look at what Islam says to discourage disobedience towards one's parents, we find teachings that are aimed at making the disobedient child realize the error of his ways. Disobedience towards one's parents is likened to shirk. Just as treating them with kindness and respect is connected to belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Disobedience towards one's parents is a heinous crime that the true Muslim fears to commit because it will diminish his reward and is in fact viewed as one of the worst sins. Abu Bakra Nufay ibn al-Haraf said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked us three times, shall I tell you the greatest sins? We said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. He said, associating parties with Allah and disobeying one's parents. In order to avoid any imbalance, such as the child treating one parent well at the expense of the other, the Islamic teachings concerning one's relationship with one's parents deal with the mother and the father individually. So as we have seen, when the man came to give bay'ah and pledged to take part in jihad, the Prophet ﷺ asked him, are either of your parents alive? This indicates that Muslim is alive to keep both parents really well. Similarly, Asma was ordered to keep in contact with and help her Muslim mother. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him, O Messenger of Allah, who among people is most deserving of my good company? He said, your mother. That man asked again, then who? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your mother. Then the man asked, then who? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your mother. The man asked, then who? He said, then your father. This hadith confirms that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prefaced to kind treatment of his mother over kind treatment of his father. And the Sahaba used to remind the Muslims of this after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, a great scholar of this ummah, considered kind treatment of the mother to be the better one closer to Allah. He came to him and said, I asked for a woman's hand in marriage and she refused me. Someone else asked for her hand and she accepted and married him. I felt jealous and killed her. Will my repentance be accepted? Ibn Abbas asked, is your mother still alive? He said, no. So he told him, repent to Allah and do your best to draw close to him. After Ibn Yasir, who narrated this report from Ibn Abbas, said, I went and asked Ibn Abbas, why did you ask him if his mother was still alive? He said, because I knew of no other deed that brings people closer to Allah than kind treatment and respect towards one's mother. The Quran evokes feelings of love and respect in the heart of the child and encourages him to treat his parents well. It refers to the mother giving precedence because of pregnancy and breastfeeding and the pains and trials that she suffers during these two stages in the most gentle and compassionate way. It recognizes her noble sacrifice and great tenderness and care. In Surah Al-Luqman, Ayah 14, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which means, and we have joined on man to be good to his parents. In travel, upon travel, did his mother bear him, and a year's pain was his wean. Hear the command. Show gratitude to me and to your parents. To me is your final goal. What supreme teaching? What humane, compassionate direction? Show gratitude to me and to your parents. Showing gratitude to parents for what they have done for their child comes second only to showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is one of the best righteous deeds. What a high status this religion gives to parents. Then a child makes his way in the world and becomes rich, and his wife and children distract him from caring for his parents. He forgets how much his father spent on him and how he fails to spend on his father, thus earning the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the true Muslim is safe from this because he is constantly aware of the wise teachings of Islam and responds to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you and your wealth are for your father. The true Muslim is struck by these teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his heart is filled with love, respect, and kindness towards his parents. Thus he is protected from falling into sin of disobedience, and he will truly be as the Prophet of Islam wanted him to be. He and his wealth will be for his father. And the hadith that is referring to right here is reported by Imam Ahmed. And the hadith goes, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, I have wealth and children, and my father wants to take all of my wealth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you and your wealth are for your father. Your children are among your best earnings, so take from what your children earn. In another report, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, take it and enjoy it. Imam al-Khatibi commented, he wants to take all of my wealth means that he wanted to take it all and leave nothing. It appears that the reason why the man asked this question was that he was having to spend on his father, and the amount required would consume all of his wealth, not just what he had to spare. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not give him permission to stop spending on his father, but told him, you and your wealth are for your father, which means that if your father needed all of your wealth, he will take as much as he needs as if it were taking from his own wealth. If you do not have any accumulated wealth, but you have an income, you should earn money and spend it on him. Islam did not stop at teaching its followers to treat their parents with respect and kindness, but it also enjoins them to show respect to those whom their parents love. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best kind of goodness is that a man should keep in touch with and respect his father's friend. In another report, one of the best kinds of goodness is that a man should keep in touch with his father's friend even after his father has passed away. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu met a friend of his father, Umar radiallahu anhu, and went out of his way to treat him well and show him respect. Some of those who were with him said, is it not enough that you gave him two dirhams in charity? Ibn Umar said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, keep in touch with your father's friend and do not break your tie with him, or else Allah will extinguish your light. A man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, is there any act of kindness or respect that I can do for my parents after they have died? He said, yes, there are four things. Praying and asking forgiveness for them, fulfilling their promises, respecting their friends, and keeping in contact with your relatives, for if you have no relatives, for you have no relatives except through them. The highest form of love, faithfulness, and respect that a child can show to his parents is to keep in touch with their friends, both during their lifetime and after their death. The true Muslim always seeks to strengthen the ties of friendship with those whom his parents love. He continues to care about his parents even after they have died, so he never forgets those old friendships, and he maintains his ties with the circles of friends forged by his parents. In the West, the child leaves his parents when he reaches the age of majority and breaks the ties of kinship, never meeting his parents or showing any compassion or feelings towards his father or her mother. The child goes on his way, scarcely looking back with love or respect to those who sacrificed so much and are now facing the worst time of their life, as they give the best days of their lives for their children who are just starting out on life. What comparison can there be between the ungrateful, disobedient attitude of a child in the West towards his parents and the respect, kindness, affection, and love somebody do for Muslim to his parents during their lifetime and after their death, and keeping in touch with their friends? Truly no other system or way of life has ever equaled the unique way in which Islam molds people and instills humility in them. The Muslim who has been molded by Islam is truly a man who is kind towards his parents. He shows them the utmost respect, standing for them when they enter the room where he is sitting, kisses their hands, lowers his voice out of politeness when he speaks to them, is humble towards them, speaks to them in a gentle tone, never lets harsh or hurtful words cross his tongue, and never treats them in a disrespectful manner, no matter what the circumstances. In all of this, he is following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Isra, Ayahs 23-24, which means, your Lord has decreed that you worship none but Him, and that you be kind to parents, whether one or both of them attain old age in your life. Say not to them a word of contempt, nor repel them, but address them in terms of honor. And out of kindness, lower to them the wing of humility, and say, My Lord, bestow on them your mercy, even as they cherish me in childhood. If parents are deviating from true Islam in some way, the dutiful Muslim sons should, in some case, approach them in a gentle and sensitive manner as to dissuade them from their error. We should not condemn them harshly, but should try to convince them with solid proof, sound logic, and wise words until they turn to the truth in which he believes. The Muslim does not forget that he is required to treat his parents well, even if they are mushrikeen. While he is aware that shirk is the greatest of sins, he still fulfills his own responsibility following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Luqman 14-15, and we have enjoined on man to be good to his parents. In travel upon travel did his mother bear him, and in years praying was his weaning. Hear the command, show gratitude to me and to your parents, for me is your final goal. Parents are the closest and most beloved of kin, but the bond with them, although it is regarded very highly, still comes second to Aqidah. If the parents are mushrikeen and tell that child to join them in their shirk, he must not obey them in that. For the Muslim must not obey a fellow creature in disobeying the Creator. The demands of faith take precedence over all human relationships. However, the child is still obliged to treat his parents with kindness and respect and to take care of them. Hence, the true Muslim treats his parents with kindness and respect in all circumstances, doing whatever he can to make them happy, with the limits laid down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He spares no effort to show honor and respect towards them, providing the best food, clothing, and housing that he can afford, appropriate both to their social status and environment and to Islamic standards. Above all, he should speak to them kindly, present a pleasant and smiling face, and show love, tenderness, faithfulness, and gratitude towards those who are most deserving of his good treatment, his parents. The respect and duty of the true Muslim towards his parents extends beyond their death. He should give money and charity on their behalf and pray often for them. This, then, is the nature of Islamic teaching concerning the respect and kindness to be shown towards parents and the nature of the dutiful Muslim who is guided by it. But are Muslims today following this teaching as they are overtaken by materialism and blinded by the glare of modern civilization? Nowadays, our main concern is focused on wives and children, not our parents. Caring for our parents comes at our concern for our wives and children, and parents may not even have that unless their children happen to be among those who have a sense of duty and deep taqwa. The modern Western social structures that have taken over the mind of many Muslims do not include kindness and respect towards parents, caring for them in their old age, and protecting them from neglect in their later years. This makes the man who is convinced of Western ideas think only of his wife and children, and he hardly takes the time to look back with love and kindness and gratitude to the generation that came before, those who stayed up so many nights to care for him, and who spent so much on his upbringing and preparing for him for life. When he thinks of a comfortable home, fine clothes, good food, and travel, he thinks in terms of providing them for his wife and children. He really gives a thought to the share his parents should have in these luxuries, when they are most in need of receiving them from the hand of their beloved son. Treating parents with kindness and respect, giving generously to them, speaking to them gently and politely, and smiling at them, this is the essential attitude of the Muslim. Muslims should never abandon this attitude, no matter how complicated life gets, or how it develops, or how many important habits they accumulate. This attitude is one which will protect them from hard-heartedness and selfish behavior, and return them to their original character, humanity and faithfulness, so that they may avoid sinking to the depths of selfishness and ingratitude as others have done. And above all, this attitude will open the doors of paradise for them. And with this, we will stop for the evening, inshallah. Subhanallah wa hamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If anyone has any questions, feel free to ask them now, inshallah.